It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio joins us to recap what happened at One Bills Drive yesterday as they gear up for the Tennessee Titans. Amari Cooper in town wearing number 18. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're okay. You know, would be better if the Sabres had finished the job last night. Either one of the times or two times they had, you know, it in control, it appeared. But it is what it is.
Yeah, me too. Very frustrating watching that last night. That was the ugh when I texted you guys. I texted you guys last night, just kind of firm up today, and that was the first word was ugh. Yeah. That was why. It was right after the game.
Yeah, tough one, but... Anyway, onward. They play tonight, so a good opportunity to move forward. So, Sal, yesterday we got a chance to hear from Amari Cooper, heard from Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, you know, the whole how the story came together on the trade for Amari Cooper. What that came from it, I don't know, surprised you the most? Was it how quickly it came together, or the part of the Adams part of it where Bean basically said, you know, once it became clear Adams wasn't going to happen, then they moved their chips in. You know, as the story came together, what stuck out to you?
Yeah, I don't know if anything surprised me necessarily. A lot of this was stuff that I pretty much expected. I would say, though, that it was good insight. It was really good insight, you know, to hear from Brandon Bean. He's always good in these situations. He gives you more than I think a lot of GMs would give. He's not going to give you every single detail of how it went down, or, you know, he's not going to obviously throw any of his guys under the bus. He was very committed to saying, listen, we still really like our wide receiver group. This isn't about not liking them. This is about having an opportunity still to add a really good player to it, however. But I think we all saw that, you know, this team, and this is why they make the deal, that they needed something. They needed something to add. And I think, you know, the insightful part for me was exactly that, Jeremy, which is you go, this started, you know, before the trade was made, and they had pretty much, he felt good about it on Sunday, at some point Sunday, and then especially on Monday before they played. Monday afternoon, he really felt good about kind of where they were, I think. And then the team hadn't played yet Monday, but remember the Browns had played Sunday, right? And, you know, the Browns are 1-5 after Sunday, so that gets them more to probably wanting to make this deal. And he even said, you know, now at that point, they're thinking future as well. And then once Tuesday came, you know, then you see that Adams gets traded. It becomes okay, let's do this now. They said they were monitoring the Adams situation, but he did say it did not speed up the process of the Amari Cooper trade, which makes sense. You go back to the other things he said, which is they pretty much had an understanding of something probably happening anyway Sunday into Monday with Amari Cooper. So, you know, that's when they decided to make the deal.
Sunday into Monday, which is kind of indicative that the Jet game itself didn't have much of an impact on it. It was
right.
Whether it's Houston or Baltimore, or did you get the sense, Sal, that, you know, this is a question I know Bulldogs asked a bunch and just in conversations about it, whether or not Bean thought this was always something of a card he could play, or if they were kind of surprised to get to this spot?
Okay, so I actually asked him that question, but I think that maybe I could have worded it differently. I think Brandon he understood my question as specifically about Amari. But what I asked him was, I said, let's go back to the trade of Stephon Diggs and then, you know, free agency and the draft and drafting, you know, Keon Coleman. Was this something that you always thought could happen that you left open to? Or is this something you kind of pivoted to more suddenly? And I think he took that as meaning just specifically about Amari. But it was a question more about the group. But I do think the answer is kind of for both, which is what he said was, it's really interesting, Jeremy. He said, you know, they have guys on his staff that monitor every team, right? So let's say there's 5-6 people in the staff, front office staff, his scouting staff. And this happens during the draft a lot that we talk about, but it also is true for the whole season and free agency and pro personnel, which is, okay, Jeremy, you're in charge of the AFC East, and Joe, you're in charge of the NFC West, or however you want to divide it up. It doesn't have to be by division. And that person's job is to check literally every single day, all the time, on what's happening on each roster. And like social media behavior or reports coming out, playing time usage. Is this person not happy? Is there an agent making some sort of grumbling behind the scenes about something? even as so much as like body language inside, in and out of a huddle while watching games, right? Like, it's pretty incredible all the things they pay attention to. And he basically was saying, look, we're always looking at this stuff. So it's not something that you suddenly go, oh my God, we need a wide receiver. It's, we're always looking and we see that. So obviously the situation with Amari, and then as that unfolded in Cleveland, probably puts him more on their radar to eventually get there. So I'm thinking, sure, he probably was thinking, okay, we're going to roll with the guys we have and we're going to see how it goes. And if we have to make a move, we're monitoring everything to make a move. So it could happen. I don't think that Brandon Bean left the draft after Keon Coleman and trading Stephon Diggs and saying, you know what, we really don't like our group, we'll just make a trade. I don't think that was the case at all. I think they wanted to give this time to see where it went. And obviously they felt that they needed to add a little bit.
Do you feel like it was maybe their first opportunity to make a trade like this, though, Sal? Because you never know who's actually available behind the scenes, but a lot of the guys, I'm thinking of Ayuk, who never got traded, a lot of the guys that maybe you could have thought about that the Bills could have, if they wanted to make a trade for a receiver between the Diggs trade in April and now, like, there just hasn't been, I don't know, like, who the guy would be. Like, maybe this is just how it went, where maybe they were always interested in adding a guy like this through the trade market, and the trade market's just, you need a dance partner, so sometimes it doesn't happen.
Yeah, he definitely said, you know, it takes two to tango, which is true, right? I mean, you can't just force a team to trade you. You could like to have Brandon Ayuk, or you could like to have Deontay Johnson, or whoever it is at the time, but the other team's got to be willing to trade and trade with you, and it's got to be the right obvious fit for you and compensation, and that includes what you're trading, and that mostly, I think more than anything, might include the price you have to pay the person. What's the contract look like? So I think Joe, yes, is probably the answer to your question. Brandon Bean, you know, he would have to answer, you know, more specifically, but my assumption would be maybe not the first opportunity, but certainly the first and best opportunity when it comes to the price you have to pay, when it comes to what's left on the contract. You know, Brandon Ayuk would have been, you would have had to pay him. You get Patrick, he had to rework his deal. You would have had to give him the Bills just don't have that kind of money to do that. Devontae Adams, the Jets are paying $11 million of his contract. The Bills just don't have that kind of money. So I think it would have had to come down to something getting closer to this time of year where you have a contract situation where it's much more palatable for you to do, and that's why you land on Amari Cooper at this time, because, I mean, the Bills are paying him less than $1 million, less than 900 grand, just over 800 grand, you know, in the salary cap. So, yeah, I do think that. It takes two to tango. There's no doubt about it. And you got to have the willingness of the other team. I would say this, too. Look, like San Francisco or whoever it is, Cleveland. I mean, I don't think Cleveland was interested in trading Amari Cooper 2 months ago. They probably wanted to see where it went, right?
Like, the Niners wanted him, right? That was part of the Ayuk thing, is the Niners wanted
him. Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So as much as his name might be out there, that's right, Joe, as much as his name might be out there and it's something people can look at, but Cleveland's 0-0 at the time. They're like, well, wait a minute, he's a good player. Like, we're going to try and win here. But once you get to 1-4 and 1-5, it's like, you know, we got to start making some moves here to look longer term, and what do we have as far as assets?
What do we think about his status of playing at this point in the week? What was said about it yesterday? And on top of that, do you think his position matters to that, Sal? Because receiver feels like a spot you could dictate what he's asked to do more than, like, I think about Douglas for this last year, where you don't really know what the offense will throw at him. Cooper, you can have a plan going in if you wanted to play him.
Well, to be honest with you, Brandon Bean said kind of the opposite of that with the two positions.
Oh, okay.
Which is like corner, you can come in and sure, you know, like, here's a defense to know, but if you're just going to play corner and, you know, you stay in your zone or man-to-man, like, you can do that. Like, it takes a little while maybe to learn the defense, but you can kind of be on an island on yourself and do your thing. Brandon Bean said wide receiver is probably the toughest position to come in and play right away and learn. Like, there's just too much chemistry that's involved, playbook that's involved, hot reads that are involved, all these different things that are involved with it. That being said, Sean McDermott earlier, before Brandon Bean spoke, said it's undetermined whether or not Amari Cooper will play. And look, I mean, we all know Sean's going to err way more on the side of caution of that, right? He's not going to put expectations on. I know, I saw, it's so funny, like, you know, McDermott says that yesterday and, like, okay, it's to be determined. And, like, fans are just freaking out. I can't believe it. No way. He's not going to play him. Well, I think what he's doing is saying, look, he just got here. Let's not put all these expectations on him just getting on the field and doing all these different things. He's just leaving the door open. He's not shutting it. But I think the indication is he's going to try and play on Sunday, and he's going to play on Sunday. Because Brandon Bean went on Pat McAfee and kind of indicated that, and then he didn't close the door and said, yeah, you know, it can happen, but he's obviously got a learning curve here. And then Amari Cooper himself, when he met with the media, said it's uncharted territory for him to be traded and play in 5 days for a new team. Last time he was traded, he had a week off. There was a bye week from Oakland to Dallas, and then he played. However, he said he thinks he can grasp enough of the playbook to be able to get out there on Sunday and play. So I think that's where we probably are right now.
Cooper's side of the story, Sal, like excitement, expectation, surprise, shock, anything like that. I mean, going from a team that is struggling as much as the Browns offense is struggling and coming to this team, which, you know, the offense is not struggling, but certainly needs his help. What is his general feeling towards this move?
He's a very, very thoughtful person. He's very cerebral. That was his word, even. I don't know if you guys know, he's a really big chess player, actually. I talked to him. He actually watched the show The Queen's Gambit. We talked a little bit about that. Like, he's, and I say it, not just, oh, hey, by the way, here's a hobby of his. Like that's something that I think he prides himself on, is thinking things through. And I even asked him about, like, using chess as a parallel in football to set guys up. And he said, yes, like, you got to think a couple moves ahead on what you're doing. And I say this all because one of the things he said was, on the drive, he drove in yesterday and last night or whatever, a couple nights ago, after the trade. You know, it's a 3-hour drive from Cleveland, whatever, give or take. And he said it felt like a long drive to the first day of school. And he had a lot to think about. And I just think that's really insightful. And, you know, you don't think about, I mean, I think a lot of times fans, media, we think of these athletes and players as just these numbers and pieces and pawns, to use a chess reference, right, in a way. Well, they're human beings, and they have lives, and this is a huge change for him. And yes, he's been in the league 10 years, and he's been on a few different teams, but suddenly in the middle of a football season, he has to change from one city to another. He has to drive and think about what's happening. And is he going to get up to speed, meet his new teammates, play a game in 5 days? I just thought that was interesting. However, he said he's been a fan of Josh Allen's from afar, and he's gritty and toughy, and he said playing with him is going to be really cool.
You know, thinking about Cooper's career arc here, Sal, he's been in the league for 10 years. He's never been a free agent. He's always signed and then been traded, and then signed and been traded. He's on the end of a 5-year, $100 million contract, and, you know, I know Bean didn't close the door on him returning here, and we'll see, you know, how the fit goes and what kind of market there would be for him. But it's kind of an opportunity, as you say, like he's thinking about his life or his career. He's, you know, whatever, just taking it all in. He's got a couple months here to play it out, and then he'll have wide open space to say, what kind of place do I want to go to? Where do I want to be? Who do I want to play with? How about contending? All these things, like, he's going to have that opportunity at the end of this season.
That's right. And speaking of two to tango, right, I mean, the Bills will have that opportunity to evaluate, and they're both going to see if it's a fit, you know, long term. Right now, this is just, hey, we're going to play out, and he's going to try and help this team win right now, and then we'll see where it goes at the end of the season. He'll have that opportunity, like you said, Jeremy, and he's earned it, right? I mean, he's been in the league 10 years. Now, for the Bills side of it, they could also look and go, man, this was a great fit. This guy could really help us. And, you know, we're not going to have to hear Jeremy's loud train horn as much if we re-sign him next year, right? And go into the offseason. Maybe we might still need some guys. But
I might have some news for you, Sal. I mean, it's okay.
I got you.
It's okay.
So I will say, though, we did clarify a couple things yesterday. He is, if he were to leave as a free agent, the Bills would be eligible for a comp pick in 2026 if he left as a free agent in 2025. He does have void years that get traded, but though those don't matter here, he would be eligible. That's what Brandon Bean said. Yeah. So that's something you have to think about. However, as I read through the rules of the comp picks, because he's a 10-year veteran, the best they could get for him is a fifth-round pick.
Okay.
If that happened. There's just a quirky rule in the comp pick formula, which says if a guy's been in the league 10 or more years, he leaves as a free agent, the best you could do as a comp pick is fifth-rounder. So at that point, the Bills, because if he signs a big deal and you get a third-rounder, it might be more on, well, why would we want to re-sign him? We could use that third-rounder the following year. as a fifth rounder, maybe it gets the Bills a little bit more too. Yeah, if we really like him, we don't mind. It's really not something that we're going to worry about, you know, sweating, you know, not getting a fifth rounder for him. And obviously there's other things that play into that. So yeah, this is a situation where they're going to play this out over the next few months. They're going to see what the fit is. And Brandon Bean, like you said, didn't close the door that maybe they wind up, you know, doing something with him later. But both sides would have to obviously be on the same page there.
Do you think, Sal, that, I mean, there's a lesson here for Bean? Again, I don't think he was surprised by this. I think this is probably something that's always in the mix, and he knew what he was doing. Like, is there so I don't want to say it's a lesson, maybe it's a message, whatever, that it's very unlikely the Bills go into a season in a Josh Allen year as kind of unprepared as they were at the position.
Well, I don't think the Bills felt they were unprepared. I think the Bills maybe they overestimated what they had there.
Well, if that's,
I mean,
the case,
I think they felt.
If that's
right,
the case,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. So if that is the case, then is there a lesson to not lean on, you know, a guy that's never done it in that role before? To be leaning
sure.
on a Mac Hollins and a Keon Coleman in those spots when you have Josh Allen at quarterback, because teams, you know, they will be able to fix in on these undetermined values that you have outside.
This is a great discussion because I absolutely could see that, Jeremy, right? As that you landing there and anybody landing there. I also could see the other side if the Bills said, we're also 4-2 and leading the division. How badly did it really work out for us to do it this way? And now we're adding someone, right? Like, I mean, you could look at it one of two ways, to be quite honest with you here. And by the way, what was really interesting to me, even before Brandon met with us, he was on the Pat McAfee show, and he mentioned right there, he's like, you know, we're in this thing we're trying to win this thing. Right? Like the all the stuff about transition year, which is his word, obviously, he used with you guys in training camp, and people thinking about stepping back and reset year, rebuild year. That's, and as I've said here for months, that's not been the case. That is not the way this organization has thought. Now, maybe there's a couple spots where they felt, do we have enough? And I think this is where you get to with this. But at the end of the day, now you're looking around and going, we got to look at this thing, right? Like we have a 2.5 game lead in our division. We're right there in the thick of things in the AFC. We have a chance to try and win this thing. Brandon Bean even said that he had a team tell him over the last few days, they have 3 guys available. And if you're interested in them before the trade deadline, give us a call, right? And he said, if there is something there, that we're going to do it. Like we'll look at it. Now, granted, financials and things like that. But if there's something there, you know, we can make that move. Now, that being said, what I'm trying to tell you is I think the Bills went into this season thinking, okay, like I think we're going to be okay, but certainly there's going to be some times and chances where maybe we're not and we have to look at this roster. So let's go back to your question, which is, yes, it could very well be, you know what, we can't just say we have Josh Allen and we got to do a little bit more there. It could also be, hey, we didn't think Curtis Samuel wouldn't be that productive. And we also are 4-2 sitting here. So how bad really was it? If you told me you'd be 4-2 after 6 games, I think we'd take it.
Yeah.
Turning the page, Sal, to a different player. How did Brandon Bean sound yesterday when asked about Tyler Bass? And the news of the reports of the workouts that they're doing, I guess, what would you guess happens here in the next days and weeks?
So he was very... he was just really truthful about it, right? I mean, like, I appreciated that about Brandon Bean's, you know, honesty about Tyler Bass's situation. He didn't sugarcoat it. He confirmed that they have kickers in to work out, and he said Tyler Bass is aware. They've had a conversation with him, and he, you know, I'm going to paraphrase here. I don't have the exact quotes on me, but the production hasn't been there. They know it. Tyler Bass knows it, and they got to do what's best for the organization, and if that means that they have to go to another direction, then they're going to have to do that. And he said that. The last month and a half or whatever into the offseason has been very much steadfast. We believe in Tyler Bass. We believe in Tyler Bass. You know, he'll give you a stroke back, blah, blah, blah. It was a different tone yesterday, guys. It was but it was a very, very forthright, truthful tone about it all. And I don't know what's going to happen, Joe, but it definitely feels like they're looking to at least bring someone in. I'm not going to say necessarily put Tyler Bass out if that happens. It could be someone that comes in and then they kind of see where that person is. But as I've said, though, for a while here, guys, even if you sign a street free agent, because that's what you'd have to do here, how much more confident would you be in that person kicking a 47-yard field goal than Tyler Bass right now?
Right. Sal, before we let you go, injuries to update. The injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash, for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. What are we monitoring this week?
And so speaking of lessons here, this week would be a great lesson, I think, for everyone who tells us all the time about how they have all these injuries and the training staff stinks and, oh my gosh, like, they're getting healthier again. This is what happens in an NFL season, guys. Everybody, not talking to you necessarily, guys, but everybody, which is, it's the ebbs and flows of injuries. This could be the healthiest they've been in a long time. They did not have anybody who missed practice on the active. It was a walkthrough yesterday, right? I get it. But even on walkthroughs, they sometimes say did not practice. It's an estimation. They did not have anybody who missed due to injury. Everybody yesterday was either limited or full participant. A couple things that to monitor, obviously. Ed Oliver, he missed last game. James Cook missed last game, but Sean McDermott said they're hopeful that maybe they can get back, you know, for this week's game. Dalton Kincaid showed up limited with a collarbone. I think that it seemed like there was a play during the game where he kind of got up a little bit, like, you know, kind of favoring it a little bit. He never went to the tent, nothing like that. But again, a little bit of lesson here, I think, for everybody who, you know, loves to just shout out about the injuries and how unbelievable they are compared to all these different teams. They have so many more injuries and the training staff must suck. Well, guess what? Well, here we are now going into week 7 and they're getting a lot healthier again. This is what happens when you play professional football.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. All right. So good news on the injury. But again, walkthrough. So today we'll get more of a look. But nobody that was a DNP, so we'll check like limited status.
I mean, they have a lot of guys on the injury report, guys, but it's full, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys limited, and you might get that again today. But certainly much more healthy than what they've been. And as I said to you guys the other day, there was not one guy that went into the tent. We did not have one actual official injury report on Monday night's game, which is really, really great, obviously.
Thanks, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Nathan Zagura of the Browns Radio Network coming up on the other side to tell us about Amari Cooper and the role he played in Cleveland, how it went, was it good, bad, and now that their passing game is without its number one weapon. So Amari Cooper from the Cleveland point of view coming up on WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't know him personally, but obviously, I will in the next 11 games or so. As far as the way he plays, I mean, it's phenomenal. Every time I turn on the television and watch him play, you know, he plays with a lot of grit, a lot of hustle. He plays hard. Obviously, he's been, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in the game for a while now. So just to be able to play with him and experience that in person, I think it's going to be real cool.
That's Amari Cooper, newest member of the Buffalo Bills. Bills trade for Cooper, and he comes over from the Cleveland Browns. Joining us on the Wester Hotline is Nathan Zagura, who is Cleveland Browns color analyst and host of Browns Daily, to talk to us about Amari Cooper. Nathan, thanks for taking some time this morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Did Browns fans see this coming? Bills fans had been talking about Cooper as an idea. His name wasn't as publicly reported as Devontae Adams. What about Browns fans on the idea of trading Cooper?
I think that you knew as this season went on, you know, that perhaps if this team continued to underachieve or perform below expectations, as the 1-5 record certainly would indicate they have, that was possible. I think you knew it was the last year of his deal. You knew he probably was going to be playing somewhere else next year. But the idea that it would happen before the Browns played a single divisional game that it would happen at this point in the season, you know, with the trade deadline still 3 weeks away. I think that part of it was surprising. I think Browns fans are surprised about a lot of how this season has gone so far.
Yeah, might want to get back to that in a moment. But what is that? I guess that's kind of the follow-up right now. Where do they turn now? 1-5, probably feeling like it's a lost year. And what now?
Well, look, it's never a lost year when the NFL season's very long. And they have, like I said, they haven't played a divisional game. But you've got back-to-back games now at home against the Bengals and the Ravens, and then a third straight home game against the Chargers. And so these next three games obviously are critical. There's no more time or margin for error for the Cleveland Browns, and it would be very important, obviously, to get those divisional wins. You know, Amari, to be fair, had not been playing like Amari Cooper was playing for the two previous seasons so far this year, leading the NFL in drops. But still, Amari Cooper is a tremendous asset. So, yeah, when you make a move like this, the Browns certainly did not get better in that trade. You know, obviously that's something for the future. You'll get guys like Jerry Jeudy now and others more opportunities in the passing game. But, yeah, Amari Cooper is a very, very good player. And so for the Browns, they've just got to find a way with what they've got to go out there and get a win. Getting Nick Chubb back this week should be a huge boost. And hopefully it's enough to get a victory over the Bengals.
You tweeted about Cooper, consummate professional. And that seems to be a common refrain I'm hearing from people around the league, that Cooper, he's had a bunch of stops, and wherever he goes, people seem to think he's a pro's pro.
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about a guy, five-time Pro Bowler, 7 1,000-yard seasons. He's the only player in Cleveland Browns history to have back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons. He has the all-time record for single-game receiving yards that he set last Christmas Eve down in Houston, 265 against the Texans. He is, and the compliment that I've given him, and he and I got to know each other fairly well, you know, and he is a very interesting guy, a big, avid chess player, and loves kind of the strategy. I think he takes some of those thoughts to the strategy of how he approaches his craft. And the compliment I gave him was that he reminded me of Joe Thomas in the sense of how Joe Thomas prepared to play left tackle, the detail in which he went into not only his preparation, but his study of not only himself, but his opponent. You know, Amari will go back, and if he's played a corner before, he'll go watch every route he ran against that corner so that he can feel like, all right, I know that he's expecting this when I do that, so maybe I can do something a little different and create separation. He's an elite route runner. He is he doesn't say much. He is not going to be flashy. I know that in Buffalo you guys have had, you know, receivers like Stephon Diggs who, while they can be supremely talented on the field, they can perhaps create some headaches in the locker room or off the field. That's not the case with Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is all about his business. He's all about his work. That opening press conference you guys had with him is probably about as much as he'll talk. And he's just there to be as good as he can be at his craft. I'm sure he's got to be thrilled going to a winning situation like this and to get to play with Josh Allen.
What do you think about his abilities still on the field at 30 years old? In particular, about maybe down the field, that's been a huge area where the Bills have been lacking this season, just in general, needing a number one, but down the field. And, man, it looked like, at least at the end of last year, like when he was with Joe Flacco, it looked like he was still very dangerous down the field.
Yeah, he averaged career-high 17.5 yards a catch last year. So, yes, he can still get vertical. And even this year, he had a drop on what would have been about a 55-yard touchdown where he got behind the defense. And then he had another 82-yard touchdown against the Raiders, erased by a pretty weak holding call on our center, Nick Harris. But so, yeah, he's still shown the ability to make big plays down the field. I think the thing this year, you know, with him with the Browns was really just the drops. I mean, he dropped a lot of passes, and the ironic part was most of them were probably 30-plus yard gains. So, yes, he can still get down the field. He knows how to get open. He knows how to create separation. And those drops that occurred in Cleveland this year are atypical. That is not something that is typical for Amari Cooper. He's very good in contested catch situations. And like I said, oftentimes he's able to just get open. He is a very savvy route runner, good acceleration, knows his speed. He made plenty of vertical plays here with the Cleveland Browns, and I would expect that he'll be able to do that, you know, with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills as well.
Nathan Zagura joining us on the Western Hotline to talk a little Browns and the Amari Cooper trade. Back to the Browns, we watch from afar and wonder, like everybody else, I'm sure you've had this question a million times, but like, what is going on with the decision to play a quarterback that is playing not only as one of the worst in the league, but like even in by Browns standards? And I say that lovingly as Bills fans who had a lot of bad quarterbacks over the years, but by Browns standards, it's pretty rough.
Yeah, it hasn't been good. I mean, Kevin Stefanski, he's the one who has the final say. And as he said in his press conference this week, he believes that Deshaun gives the team the best chance to win. And there have been some good moments, and certainly over the last 2.5 years, there have been some good moments. And I think that, you know, you look at this kind of from a big picture standpoint, is as long as there's a chance that we can get this turned around and Deshaun Watson can get it turned around, they're going to give him that opportunity. But, you know, it can't continue like this forever and expect nothing to change.
Do you think on that, because they did, I mean, they made investments in the offseason in insurance policies at quarterback. Maybe that could have been for injury too. Winston, and I know Tyler Huntley's not there anymore, but Winston being behind him, is there any scenario where you think they would move during the year with all the money and the contract that's left to be paid to Watson? Or do you think they're going to exhaust all ways to make that work before they would ever, you know, make a switch?
Yeah, I think it'll be one of the interesting things to play out. I would also mention another name, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who was the Browns' fifth-round pick a year ago, who I happen to like. I know the organization happens to like. And I think if things get to a situation where it's very bad and the postseason, which was not only the goal, was the expectation going into this year, and I think rightfully so with the talent on this team, although they have not played up to that level yet, you know, I think that he's somebody you would want to give a look to, because DTR could be in the sense, if, you know, hopefully Deshaun Watson can turn this thing around. But if he can't, you know, the only reason the Niners are still where they are is because they happened to hit on Brock Purdy, and that got him out of a trade for Trey Lance. Looking back on it, looks dreadful, right? So I think the Browns at some point would have to explore, if it gets to that point, and obviously hopefully it does not, but if it does get to that point, then you'd have to explore Dorian Thompson-Robinson and say, okay, can a guy that we drafted in the fifth round, who showed some signs, you know, last year against Pittsburgh, led the game-winning drive, and the next game against Denver, he ends up getting hurt, but he actually had led a scoring drive on 3 straight possessions on the road in Denver last season, and so there were signs that he was starting to turn the corner. So we'll see how it ultimately plays out, but yeah, I don't think anybody in the Browns is where they thought they would be, or certainly not where they want to be right now through 6 games in the season, and that would include the quarterback, Deshaun Watson.
Nathan Zegura on the Browns and Amari Cooper. Thanks very much for the time.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Browns, rough year. 1-5. I mean, there's rough and then there's rough.
And they play the Bengals this week and then the Ravens next week. So their division games begin now. And don't you think they're just not going to take Watson out? He can't play worse. I don't know. I don't think – I would want to guess the coach doesn't have the final say on that. That if Stefanski wanted to take him out, he couldn't. Because the owner's got $250 million left to be paid to this quarterback. Or something like that. $200 million, whatever it is.
803-0550. 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Got a Twitter poll up. Who's going to lead the Bills and receptions from this point forward? Cooper, Shakir, Kincaid. Shakir winning that. Cooper in second. Kincaid a distant third. This does at least take pressure off Kincaid, as you need that guy to do stuff, right? Takes maybe attention away from him,
yeah,
but less of a spotlight, because I feel like we'd started to really zoom in on him, and where is this top tight end that you drafted? Maybe he can flourish with Cooper taking some attention. You can join us if you'd like, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550.
Tune into WGR 550 each Bills game day, including the Sunday, during the regular 2024 season for your chance to answer our tailgate trivia question presented by Game Day Hospitality. Your chance to win 2 VIP tickets to Game Day Hospitality's Red Zone tailgate party, which includes food, drink, entertainment, X to the VIP tent. Visit our contest page, WGR550.com, for details.
Time for the pick of the week, brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. My pick of the week from Riverfront is a 2016 Ram 2500. You want power? This is the truck for you. Don't settle for ordinary. Get exceptional. Check it out at riverfrontautosales.com or call my friends Marty Sr. or Marty Jr. at 886-1626. Pick of the week. You know what it is? It's a funny one. It's my favorite one maybe ever.
Is Arsenal back in action this week?
Yes, the entire Premier League's back. That's good. I hate those Saturdays without Premier League. Arsenal plays Bournemouth. But that's not it. My pick of the week is the pick that Will Levis is going to throw on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Love it. Pick of the week is an actual pick.
Picks of the week.
Yeah.
He's throwing at least one. Come on. This team.
Probably a pick six.
He has no idea what he's in for.
Another thing, too, because he's going to watch Josh Allen, and he's going to think he can be that.
It's going
to
be great.
It's going to be. He's going to get inspired to what?
Will he throw a pass while horizontally in the air?
That, or he's going to throw the ball lefty in this game for some reason. Just something wild.
The Bills and the Titans have played, I was doing the numbers on this, 14 times since they moved to Tennessee.
Okay.
I'm looking for you to tell me the starting quarterbacks for the Titans in all those matchups.
Ooh. Steve McNair.
Hold on, let's get the instant trivia music here. Yes, that's a correct answer already. Steve McNair's the very first one. Instant trivia. Six other quarterbacks. Will Levis will be the seventh quarterback in Tennessee history to start a game for the Titans.
How many were McNair? A bunch?
Yeah.
Okay.
There were 14 games. McNair is one of the answers, yes.
How about Marcus Mariota?
Yes.
Ryan Tannehill?
Also correct. A good number of games for Tannehill.
Okay.
Three more Tennessee Titans. And they're all Titans because McNair was while they were the Oilers and then Titans.
Yeah.
Three other Tennessee Titans quarterbacks have started a game against the Bills.
I don't remember Vince Young ever playing against the Bills, but did he?
He did.
He did? Okay.
He did, and they won a game here 30-29 on Christmas Eve. I believe it was Christmas Eve in 2006.
Okay. What about Jake Locker?
No.
Never against the Bills?
No.
He retired like 2 years in. He's bad anyway. Kerry Collins?
No.
Felt like a Titan.
There's one name here.
Fitz was there, but I don't remember him against the Bills with Tennessee.
There's one name here that I don't remember ever playing for the Titans. And another name who at one point was the free agent diamond in the rough quarterback idea of the year for a drought Bills team. You might not remember this name.
What? The free agent diamond idea of the year for a drought Bills team?
Yes. Can they get that guy? Should they go after that guy? There might be some good stuff in there. Yeah. I mean, you might not remember this name. You might have
been. Zach Mettenberger?
No.
So it's early. So it's early Titans. If you're saying I might not remember it.
This guy you might not remember. His career. There's that guy, and then there's the journeyman that played for a bunch of teams. Was a pretty good quarterback, and I just don't remember him with the Titans at all. The guy that's the journeyman played for.
Is it a McCown?
No, you're on the right track though.
It's
not a McCown. It's not a Heward. He did have a brother that also played.
Oh, is it a Palmer?
It's not a Palmer.
Is it a Sims?
It's not a Sims.
Is it, what other brothers? What other? It's not a Manning.
It's not. No, it's not a Manning.
What? What in the world is who?
He went to a Super Bowl.
Like attended it as a fan?
No, played in
a Super Bowl. He played in a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Wait. Completely drawing a Grossman.
He went to the Super Bowl with the Seahawks.
Oh, Hasselbeck.
Matt Hasselbeck.
Oh, Matt Hasselbeck.
Matt Hasselbeck.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't remember him on the Titans.
Me either. And then the other guy.
Is he the guy that was the Bills free agent diamond in the rough?
No. Free agent diamond in the rough. Again,
this guy.
This guy played for the Titans from 2001 to 2007. And.
Okay. 2001 to 2007.
No, I'm sorry. 2001 to 2005. Then he went to San Diego.
Billy Volek.
Yes.
Yeah. That's when you know you play. Let's name some random backup quarterbacks with your friends because Billy Volek comes up.
Do you remember when Billy Volek was, hey, maybe that guy is a free agent?
He had
a minute in the sun where teams.
There was a Billy Volek minute?
Yes.
Come on.
Teams maybe wanted to trade for him, maybe taking on.
When was this?
What about a flyer on Billy Volek?
Man, what it was like to be that team. Maybe Billy Volek can come in and fix things.
It would have been 2004 because he had a 1 year deal and then he signed a 4 year contract with the Titans in 2004.
I mean, the drought. Like, oh, guys, let's bring in the quarterback that went 2-6 with the Titans. Maybe he'll come in.
It was the year before that. He went 1-0, four touchdowns, one pick.
Oh,
There was a minute. There was a Billy Volek minute.
Kind of like Matt Flynn.
Right. There's your instant trivia. 803-0550. No Scott Pianowski today. We can do some fantasy chatter anyway. Put together our Thursday three-way parlay. Sabres and Blue Jackets tonight as well. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.